Well, that was I enjoyed that reading. It was very good. But I'd also like to let you all know that I was just reading a text message from Deb as we came back, and Connor is feeling a lot better since we've prayed. So that's wonderful news. I knew Yah's presence would be there. I knew he would be healed. And praise Yah, he's on the mend. So that was really good. All his pain had gone. So that is wonderful news. Now to my message for today. I want to speak today. We don't have a temple anymore. So what we read in our readings was all about the instruments that were used for worship, who was to look after the instruments in the, all of the things in the tabernacle, who was to carry what, where they were to go, and who were to look after the instruments of worship. But we can't abide by those scriptures today. So let us go to Bamidbar number 3 verses 6 to 8 to see where I'm coming from. To summon the tribe of Levi and assign to them to Aharon the Kohen, so that they can help him. They are to carry out his duty. They are to carry out his duties and the duties of the whole community before the tent of meeting in performing the services of the tabernacle. They are to be in charge of all the furnishings of the tent of meeting and to carry out all the duties of the people of Israel connected with the service of the tabernacle. Now, we know from our readings of the Torah that the tribe of Levi were known as the Levitical priesthood. And they were the ones that kept the tabernacle in order. They were the ones that made sure everything was ready for the sacrifices. They were the ones that made sure the altar was prepared, that the menorah was lit, that the shewbread was on the table. They were in charge of it all. So what they were actually in charge of were the instruments of the worship, and they prepared them and made them all usable. But we don't have a tabernacle today. We don't have a temple today. They were in charge of, let me see, the altar, the laver, the golden menorah, as I said, the shewbread, the table, the incense altar, the ephod priestly robes, the censers, the knives for all the sacrifices. Everything that was needed to worship Yehovah, to send up to him that beautiful aroma that he used to love, was done according to the Torah, was done by the Levitical priesthood. In our 21st century, we don't have a tabernacle. We no longer have a temple standing that we can worship in and work according to those instructions of the Torah. So what is critical today is that we do what's right, even without the physical temple. But we know that since the coming of the Ruach HaKodesh, 50 days after Yeshua rose from the dead, which is next Sunday, the Ruach HaKodesh came to live within us. So our bodies are now the tabernacle where we should worship, from which we should worship. And so I want to look at things today where we can use ourselves to worship Yah. And I want to look at four different areas in our lives. The one is myself. I've got to be holy as he is holy. The second is my Bible or the scriptures, which is the word of Yah, which is Yeshua. The third is my tongue, what comes out of my mouth. And the fourth are my resources. Yehovah blesses each and every one of us with gifts and with spiritual gifts, gifts of to be able to worship, whether it's our voice, whether it's in doing, in giving, whether it's in words of praise, whether it's which is affirmation. Yah gives us all these gifts that we can use to worship him and to help others. So let us work through them. The first one, myself. Can we go to Romans 12, 1 and 2, please? I exhort you, therefore, brothers, in view of Yehovah's mercies, to offer yourselves as a sacrifice, living and set apart for Yehovah. This will please him. It is the logical temple worship for you. In other words, do not let yourselves be conformed to the standards of the Olam Hazeh, that is this world. Instead, keep letting yourselves be transformed by the renewing of your minds so that you will know what Yehovah wants and will agree with what he wants is good, satisfying, and able to succeed. True worship will change your life, especially emotionally. Our lives are to be that sacrifice today that the sacrificing of all the animals in Yeshua's day was then. How we live, how we pray, how we conduct ourselves in our private life as well as in public. We have Yehovah's presence in us through his Ruach HaKodesh. So therefore, we should live accordingly. The renewing of our minds should be ongoing daily. It's not a one-time aha moment and then it is left on the shelf and been there, done that. Yehovah wants a people that love him with all their heart. That is why we say the Shema every week at services, and I say it morning and night of every day. We go to Devarim, Deuteronomy 6, 4 and 5. Shema Yisrael, Yehovah Eloheinu, Yehovah Echad. And you are to love Yehovah your Elohim with all your heart, with all your being, and with all your resources. It doesn't mean just money. It means all the gifts he has given you. When I look at the Shema, I see it as a mitzvot or a commandment, which I have to be willing to live according to if I am to honour Yehovah and his word. It says, I am to love Yehovah with all my heart. I am to put him first in every area of my life. And I know I've told you this before, but I'll say it again. Malachi and I have a favourite song that we first heard on our honeymoon, which was 30 years ago, and live by it to this very day. The title is of the song is called Love Song for Number Two. And the chorus says, Yehovah is number one in my life and second place will have to do for you. But I'm going to spend the rest of my life in love with the two of you. Yehovah and Yeshua are echad, or one. And therefore they are to always have first place in our lives. To put yourself first is just like what Minister Yitzhak said last Shabbat. It's moving into idolatry. Then we are to love Yehovah with all our being. That is, with our soul, which is our mind, our will, and our emotions. It is our soul which lives on into eternity. It is our soul which is judged on the day of judgment. Is how we think and act, and what we say is by what we will be judged. We'll also be judged on how we use or don't use our resources. And as I said, these are not just monetary, but how we use the gifts and the talents that Yehovah has given us. These are our instruments of worship, and they are needed to live holy, they are needed to live holy as Yehovah is holy. I have to honour Yah with my body by preparing it as sinless as physically possible. That doesn't mean I always succeed. I'm certainly not perfect in any way, shape or form, but I try. I start each day with that intention, and that is why I start my day with the Shema. I also finish with it and ask Yah to perfect my day for me and right any wrongs which I may have committed unintentionally. Now, my Bible, which I read a lot, mainly through my computer, because I can do a lot more research in it that way. But this is the sword of the Ruach. This is the sword of the Spirit. These are the scriptures that we have to turn to, that we can answer Hasatan through. If we've got this word within us, we can pull Hasatan's powers down quickly than anything else. If we go to 2 Timothy 3, verses 14 to 17, it says, "But you continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, recalling the people from whom you learned it, and recalling too how from your childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which can give you the wisdom that leads to deliverance through trusting in Yeshua the Messiah. All Scripture is Yehovah breathed, and is valuable for teaching the truth, convicting of sin, correcting faults, and training in right living. Thus, anyone who belongs to Yehovah may be fully equipped for every good work." Verses 16 and 17 give you the reason you need to get into Yehovah's word every day. It is one thing to read the word daily, but it is also important to live Yehovah's word daily. When verse 16 says all scripture, it's referring to the Tanakh, as the Ketuvah HaShelekim was not in print at that time. Reading without questioning what it is saying to you personally and applying it to your daily life is a complete waste of time. Anyone can read the word. How you apply that word to your life is the whole essence of reading it. Excuse me. If we are not prepared to apply the living word to our lives, we may as well read a comic, because it's not going to help us at all. The Bible, or the scriptures, as I said, is our sword. It is the sword of the Ruach, and we have to use it. There are so many gems in there, not just in the Torah, but all the Ketuvah HaShelekim, but also in Tehillim or Psalms and Mishnah and Proverbs. Excellent books to read daily. They are both important readings in how to live your daily life in the presence of Yehovah. I came to salvation 69 years ago through reading the Psalms, not in a church, through the New Testament. You can live your life by the book, Bible or scriptures. It's just a matter of choice. Do you choose to or not? That's up to you. Number three is my tongue. And my tongue is usually connected to my thoughts. Yaakov James 4:1-3 says, "What is causing all the fights and quarrels among you? Isn't it your desires battling inside you? You desire things and don't have them. You kill, you are jealous, and you still can't get them. So you fight and quarrel. The reason you don't have is that you don't pray. Or you pray and don't receive because you pray with the wrong motive, that you're wanting to indulge your own desires." So they're praying in a way that is more about me, like the selfie lifestyle. We've got to learn to do this prayer thing right. Our prayers should never be for just our wants. Our needs are a differing thing. We need to get ourselves to our point of our thoughts and actions and wanting things our way and look at things from another person's perspective. If our desires are always towards ourselves, we will be in a continual battle with those in our sphere of influence. In fact, we lose the ability of our influence, as no person will want to listen to our selfish desires. As most of you know, I prefer to pray through what I call my ACTS, A-C-T-S, prayer list. A is for adoration to Yehovah. C is confession of known and unknown sins, as well as confessing who Yeshua is and Yah is in my life. And I pray a lot of scriptures in these sections. T is for thanksgiving and thanking Yah for all the little things as well as the big things in my life. You know, I thank him that he loved me before I loved him. That's just part of my prayers daily. Because if he didn't love me first, I'd have never have come to him in the first place. But he had to touch me first. Then the last one of all brings me to S. S is supplication. It is here I pray for all of you. I pray for my family, saved and unsaved, as well as anything Yah brings into my mind on a particular day, particularly with what is happening globally and the virus that's attacking so many people. And this is the largest section for me, but I very rarely pray for myself in this section. You see, I don't need to pray a lot for myself because Yah has already supplied all my needs. It's mainly for others and situations of this time. The scripture goes on to say in Yaakov chapter 4 verses 7 and 8, therefore submit to Yehovah. Moreover, take a stand against the adversary and he will flee from you. Come close to Yehovah and he will come close to you. Clean your hands, sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded people. Yaakov has to be one of my favourite books to read. I love Yaakov, and it's not because it's my father's name. It's because he doesn't hold back. Sometimes when I read Yaakov, I think he's speaking of his own guilt when he wouldn't listen to his brother Yeshua when Yeshua was alive. We are told to submit and resist or stand against the adversary. Yaakov told us that you cannot fake your belief or your faith. There is one thing I've enjoyed doing in this lockdown, and that's getting out my old chorus books and playing the piano. And one song I genuinely enjoy playing and singing is A Touch from the Lord Is So Real. And it goes on with Yaakov's scripture, if you draw nigh to him, he will draw nigh to you. And that's exactly what Yaakov is saying in this scripture. Submit to Yehovah is to come close to Yehovah and his word. Your knowledge through his word is the only way you can take a stand against the adversary. Yeshua always answered the adversary with the word of Yehovah. He always says, it is written. If we do not have Yehovah's word within us, we can never come against the adversary to pull him down. Maybe you step in faith and half Satan punches you and dares you to do it again. So you know what you do? You do it again. Yaakov tells us to resist or take a stand against the adversary. He didn't say, let the adversary always resist us. Sometimes we need to put some pressure on the pressure and push. We have to push him out of our lives. What we do have to understand is we can't fake faith. Let me show you this in operation through Yeshua. We go to Matthew chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. Once more. So this has happened again. It's a cyclical. Warfare is cyclical. It'll take you round and round and you'll find yourself back in that place again. So once more, the adversary took him up to the summit of a very high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in all their glory. Just like he does to us, he shows us things that we wouldn't look at and say, hey, come on, you can have this. You don't have to go to Shabbat today. You can do this instead. And said to him, all this I will give you. Let me assure you, there is always a catch. If you will bow down and worship me, I'll give you all of this if you will bow down and worship me. Why would Yeshua want to bow down to worship what he already had? Come on. HaSatan wasn't thinking straight. Yeshua is one with Yehovah. Therefore, all he could see was his anyway. We have to make sure that we get our words lined up with our mind and make sure that what we're asking for, or make sure that what we're saying, is coming from Yehovah's mindset and not our own. In Mark 8 and verse 36, it says, indeed, what will it benefit a person if he gains the whole world but forfeits his life? And in Matthew 4:10 to 11, Yeshua says, away with you, Satan. Yeshua told him, for the Tanakh says, worship Yehovah your Elohim and serve only him. Then the adversary left him alone, and angels came and took care of him. Remember when you've been on a long trial that it will always end. I think some of us feel like we're on a long trial at the moment, especially for those that are out of work or have had their working hours cut in half. And the Gold Coast here especially is suffering. Where we live on tourism. We live on the industry of restaurants and all of the, what do they call them, the tourist places where you know, Movie World, Dream World, Sea World, you know, theme parks. All of it is closed. We live on the border of New South Wales. They've even closed our border. So the people in Coolangatta are not getting the trade that they got from Tweed Heads, which is just across the road. People are suffering and they're in a trial. And we have no cases of COVID, but we are still locked down and our borders are still closed. Monday, our children go back to school. So that's one thing. But at the moment, we are in a trial. And it seems like it will never end, especially for those that can no longer earn money, for those that have been put off from their jobs in the hospitality industry. You can now have people in a restaurant, but only 10 people in a restaurant at a time. So you can have 10, the restaurant might hold 100, but they can still only put 10 in at a time. It's ridiculous. We need to be opened up again. We need to be meeting again. We need to be seeing each other again and feeling the love and not just being told we have the love. But remember, this will end. Adversaries leave and the angels will come to minister. And that is why Kepha said to the elders of the Messianic community of the time in Kepha Aleph 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 to 10. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of Yehovah, so that at the right time he may lift you up. Throw all your anxieties upon him, because he cares about you. Stay sober. A lot of people have been drinking a lot, much more since they've been at home and in front of their children. Stay sober. Stay alert. Your enemy, the adversary, stalks around about like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Stand against him, firm in your trust, knowing that your brothers throughout the world are going through the same kinds of suffering. You will have to suffer only a little while, and after that, Yehovah, who is full of grace, the one who called you to his eternal glory and union with the Messiah, will himself restore, establish, strengthen you, and make you firm. We have his word. He promises us that we will come through this. Do you know why we often have to go through a long, sustained time of testing? So that all the garbage in us can be burned up like dross. So that we can grow up and not be like children anymore. Yehovah wants us to be mature, established, strong, and settled. Does that describe you? If not, he will keep you on the burner. Maybe even on a slow cooker. And I'm not talking about a crock pot. I don't own one, but I do like to cook my roast slowly. And I cook it on 90 degrees Celsius for about 6 to 8 hours, depending on the size of it, could be 10 hours. And when the meat is ready, it's moist, succulent, and very tender. And I think that is how Yah treats us. He allows us to grow at our own pace slowly. And he doesn't put up the heat so that we will stay just long enough, as long as it takes, and then get out of that place as soon as we can. But he wants us to stay in the place that he puts us and the way he wants us to live the rest of our lives. The adversary, on the other hand, turns the heat up to 240 degrees, burns us crisp, and on the inside we are hard and tough, and every bit of the moisture has been taken out of us. When you can no longer stand the heat, then you get your instruments out to worship him so that you can resist him. Get your instruments in order and in agreement. Myself, live a consistent lifestyle. My Bible, learn the word. Learn the scriptures. You need to pull down Hasatan. And my tongue, speak through your faith. Speak kind words, not in a derogative way. And there is one more powerful instrument of worship, and that's my resources. That is your money and your Ruachal gifts. Yehovah is Lord of your resources. As I said in the beginning, my life, my Bible, my tongue, my money, all resources are all instruments of worship. The instruments are progressive and they affect each other. Each will strengthen or weaken the others. In Mishlei Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 9, it says, "Trust in Yehovah with all your heart. Do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, then he will level your paths." Don't be conceited about your own wisdom, but fear Yehovah and turn from evil. This will bring health to your body and give strength to your bones. Honor Yehovah with your wealth and with your first fruits of all your income. Then your granaries will be filled and your vats overflow with new wine. Each of these commands has a consequence attached to them. So many people quote this first scripture out of context. They will command you to do verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And they do that and quote that scripture out of context. They do that mostly to make you submit to their authority when you are fully aware, because you know the scriptures, they are not living according to verse 7 themselves, which is, don't be conceited about your own wisdom, but fear Yehovah and turn from evil. While verses 9 and 10 are as important today as they were when they were written, to honour Yehovah with your wealth. I can only speak for myself in relation to this. And I tithed most of my working life, which was 53 years. I find that now that I'm retired and living on about one third of my former income, I am still able to live to the standard I lived when I was earning a wage. As most of you know, I hate shopping and I will only shop when I really have to. Well, back in March, in the first weekend of lockdown, I took the opportunity of going shopping, knowing full well that there would not be the crowds there to contend with that I don't cope with. I shopped for necessary clothes for myself as well as for Malachi and Malachi's birthday present. Malachi's birthday wasn't until May, and I had no idea we would still be in lockdown past his birthday. But Yehovah obviously knew. On that day, there were no sales advertised. But I managed to save more money than I spent, as most of the items were 40 to 60% off. Yehovah continually blesses me, and I know it. I recognize it, and I give him the glory. I believe he honors Malachi and myself in retirement, because he says, then your granaries will be filled and your vats overflow with new wine. That to me says, all of my needs will be met. I will not want for anything, and I don't. The key to blessing is to get the cycle going. Give, and it will be given to you. Give again, etc. You can't be afraid of never having enough of any new element in your life. Yehovah will always give you what you need if you obey his word. The instruments must work in unison to be powerful. You cannot talk faith without acting on it, with your financial contribution and the management of your finances. You cannot just give without having your tongue in line with your giving. And you cannot have your tongue in line without your lifestyle being in line. How we manage our finances is the key to the rest of our instruments of worship. If our finances are not in line or not sufficient because of our spending practices, then others cannot be in line, as we are operating out of fear because of our lack. So if you are having trouble with your finances, especially at this time where salaries are cut off or even halved, you need to get them back on track, and let me give you some hints. I did this all my working life, and I taught it to my children. Now, you may not be able to do this at first, as if you have credit card debts, so I'll tell you how to get rid of that first. I've never had a credit card debt, as I always paid the whole amount off each month. But if you do, you probably have more than one card. So the key is, pay off your smallest card first without spending from it at all, and continue paying the smallest amount that you are obliged to pay on the other cards that you might have. When you've paid off that first card, then you pay off your second card, but add to that payment the amount you were always paying on the first card. So now you're paying more than what you're required to pay. And you pay that card off at that rate until that's finalised. And if you've got a third card, you do the same thing again. You pay off the minimum amount of that card plus what you were paying on the first two cards. So you're actually paying much more than what you require. You'll find that the whole amount each, if you're paying if you're paying that each month, you'll find when you get to the end that the debt will all of a sudden shrink and be gone. If you don't have credit card debt, then you can start using the saving regime that I taught my children and what I have always used. And that is to break your income into three equal portions, or as close to as you can. You use one portion for everyday living, like your food, household items, whatever you need on a daily basis. That's what you use one third for, children's expenses and whatever. The second portion, put in a bank and don't touch it. Just leave it there. The third portion is what I use for what I call my big spending. The things that I spend once a year, like insurances, my rates twice a year, my water four times a year, my electricity four times a year. That comes out of the other third, and I haven't touched that, only for when they come in line. Then if I have anything after that, I use it for entertainment, maybe for going to a restaurant or whatever. But your second third that you've put aside is for what you might need for a rainy day. If you get ill, you have a hospital expense that comes up, or maybe you want to go on an overseas holiday you want to save towards. Maybe it's just there in case the refrigerator breaks down and you need to replace it, or you've got to replace the hot plates or the oven. Then you've got the money to go straight away and get it. You don't have any problems. So if you use your money wisely, then you won't have debt. I think by getting our finances in line, that when we need for our resources, we've got the money there, whatever it is we need. And these are why they are called our instruments of worship. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8, it says, "Therefore it is my wish that when the men pray, no matter where, they should lift up holy hands that are holy. They should not become angry or get into arguments." Words matter. We need to praise Yehovah and resist Hasatan with the same instruments. My life, my mouth, my Bible, and my resources. Resist Hasatan and he will flee. Give and it shall be given to you. We must be willing to break our old mindsets. We can't keep thinking the same old way and expect a different outcome. In 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 it says, "For Yehovah gave us a spirit who produces not timidity, but power, love and self-discipline." Self-discipline is very important. The fear of giving needs to be broken in our minds. Yehovah gets weary of us going in circles and never learning new thinking. Excuse me. Joshua or Joshua chapter 6 and verse 10. Yehoshua gave this order to the people. Don't shout. Don't let your voice be heard. Don't let a single word out of your mouth until the day I tell you to shout. Then you will shout. Yehoshua was not going to let other people's fear stop him again. 40 years earlier, he had proof that the promised land was filled with milk and honey of every good food. But fear prevented the Hebrews going into the land at that point. There was no way Yehoshua wanted them to go around Bamidbar or in the wilderness again. He wanted the Israelites to be obedient so that they could see the miracle arm of Jehovah. You know, our mistakes are not the only thing we can learn from. We can learn from the counsel of our leaders. We can learn from more mature believers. I've said this many times, I see faith as a muscle. We need to exercise our faith. It's the old adage of the muscle. If you don't use it, you will lose it. You can do that by resisting Hasatan, the adversary. So to finish, let me repeat. My instruments of worship are my life, my Bible, my tongue, and my resources. They all need to be in agreement. We cannot say one thing and do another. If they are in agreement, this will cause the adversary to flee and the angels to come and minister to our life. That way, we will be a blessing, we will be blessed and be a blessing to others. So I'm going to finish there. Please don't hesitate to email me if you've got any questions. I'm only too happy to answer them. And if you want to chat at any time, I'll sort the end of the phone. The email address and my phone are in the newsletter. I believe Malachi said the newsletter this week also is not showing up with the pictures on the website, but there are the links that you can get to. I think he has to sort things out with that. I'm not too sure what it is. So let's now go to, we don't have a remembrance service. So Malachi, if you can come and we'll say the Aharonic blessing, please.